Well, peace, friends. My name's Tom. I'm the pastor here at Sycamore Creek, and next week's a big week, right? What's next week? You all know. It's Easter. It's Easter. In your program are the invite cards for Easter with all the different things that we're doing. There's an extra little bonus next week for coming. We have some special guests next week. We have some MSU wrestlers who are going to be here. Jackson Ross is going to join us. Jackson is a heavyweight, 285 pounds. This guy is a beast. And then also on the far end, other side of the spectrum, is Rayvon Foley, who is in the lightest weight class, 125, and he is ranked 7th in the nation right now. And these two guys are going to be here. You may wonder, how are MSU wrestlers going to fit with Easter? Well, you're just going to have to wait and find out. But maybe you have a friend who's a big MSU Spartans sports fan or a wrestler. That's a great way to connect them, bring them next week. But what I really want to dive into right now is that post-it note that is on the invite card. We're going to draw some inspiration from those three lines. You see, those three lines are there for you to write three names down, but they're all blank, right? And you may be drawing a blank about, well, why would I write three names down on here? Blank. Why would I, who would I write down? Drawing a blank about that. And then drawing a blank about, well, what would you do when you follow, how do you follow through with writing those names down? And all of that just leads to this big blank stare that you have at me right now. And what I want to do today is I want to help you to not draw a blank at Easter. Don't draw a blank this Easter, okay? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about inviting, picking up, and bringing. And we're going to have trilogies. We're going to have trios. We're going to have sets of three, all kinds of things to inspired by those three lines on that little post-it note. So I'm going to start with these three, this trilogy. Three reasons to invite, three motivations. And for many of us, a motivation might simply be obedience. The last words that Jesus said before he left was, go and make disciples of all the nations. Go and, you see, those are commands. Go and make. Jesus didn't say, if you wake up on the right side of the bed and your kids get up without being too grumpy and there's milk and cereal and like a big bowl of fresh fruit in your refrigerator, and if your kids get out the door in time for the bus and they're not late to school, and if you get in the shower and you're having a good hair day, and if you make all of the green lights before you get to work, and your boss also had all of that happen and he's being or she's being nice to you today, and then invite your coworker, then go and make. No, it's a command. Go and make disciples. For many of us, that simple motivation of obedience motivates. But for some of us, we maybe need a different motivation, a motivation of truth, to share the truth. This past Friday night on date night, I went for the second time to this little restaurant over on Cedar. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it. Maybe Myanmar Family Restaurant. It's a Thai and Burmese place. That place is amazing. I mean, it's like you wouldn't notice it, but it has like 500 recommendations or 500 ratings on Google, and it's got 4.5 stars. And when you walk up to it, like there's only like 15 or 20 seats in the place, so you got to get there early to get a spot. And the food is absolutely stunning. I'm telling you, that is the truth. And I share it with you because it's true, right? Go check it out. In fact, if you know any great places like that, tell me about it. Tell the truth. Many of us are motivated to invite just simply by that wanting to share the truth of what we've experienced. Paul, the first missionary of the church and the author of many of the books of the Bible, wrote a letter to the Romans, and it's kind of like his little sermon. He goes back to the Old Testament and he pulls this passage from Deuteronomy, which is traditionally attributed to Moses. And he says, in fact, Moses says that the message or the truth is very close at hand. It's right here. It's not out there. It's not something that you've got to get your life right first, that you have to do this or think that or be this or be that. But rather, it's close at hand. He says it's as close as your lips and as close as your heart. So then he's going to flesh out what that means here in the rest of this chapter. He says, that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare, so there's the lips, it's as close as lips, openly declare. If you publicly say, declare that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean that Jesus is Lord? It means that he's your leader, that he has a claim on every part of your life, your calendar, your money, your attitudes, the way you spend your time, your stuff. If you openly declare that Jesus is my leader and you believe in your heart, so you don't just speak it, you know, you don't just talk the talk, but there's something deep inside of you. There's a sincerity about your belief in your heart, the center of who you are. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that there's something entirely unique about who Jesus is and all of humanity, that he is God's one and only Son, and that the power of God raised him from the dead, Paul says, you will be saved. Now, what does he mean when he says you'll be saved? And I think many Christians think that that means pie in the sky when you die. That when you get to the end of the life and you're buried 6 feet under, you're going to go to heaven. And I think that's part of it, whatever that means. But I think it also begins right now. This salvation is right now. It's not just something when you die. It's a transformation. It's a change right now. In fact, every week we have this cross up here, and you'll see three words on it: freedom, healing, and forgiveness. This is salvation. Do you know that in your brokenness, in your sin, and your sin is when you get off of the path that God wants you on. Sin is when you miss the mark. There's a bullseye and you don't hit the bullseye. And sometimes you don't hit it because it's unintentional, you were trying to, but other times you're not even aiming at God's target for your life. And in that sin, in that brokenness, we're all stuck. We're in bondage. And Jesus saves by setting us free from the bondage of sin, but also sets us free from the disease of sin. Sin is a kind of disease. It corrupts everything. It gets in, it gets in and it corrupts all of our actions, all of our attitudes, all of our beliefs, all of our emotions. And Jesus saves us by healing us from the corruption of that disease of sin. But even further, when we miss the mark, there's a kind of guilt, a sort of brokenness of relationship. You see, those of you who are parents know that when you tell your kids not to do something, what's the one thing they want to do? The thing you told them not to do. Now, they're not unique in any way, because that's the story of all of us. And when we do the thing that God doesn't want us to do, when we do the thing that breaks the relationship, there's a kind of guilt that's created there. And Jesus saves us by forgiving us from that guilt. He heals us. He sets us free. He forgives us. Believe in your heart. Speak it with your mouth. And be saved. Paul goes a step further. He says, for it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. And it's by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. As the scriptures tell us, he's going to quote a bunch of different scriptures here. Anyone who trusts in God will never be disgraced. Trust has to do with not just saying it, right? I mean, you can talk the talk. It's not just a belief. If it's a true belief, it trusts by taking action, by doing something with your feet, with your hands, with your body. That when you take that speech and that belief and you put it together with action, you trust. And Paul quotes the Bible and says, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. That trust will never be disgraced. You'll find that God is faithful with your trust. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. That was the big debate back then, whether if you were non-Jewish, you had to become Jewish first to follow Jesus. And Paul said, no, it's the same Jesus. Today, the way I think that translates, it doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or any other racial distinction. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're straight or gay or queer or lesbian or gay or trans or what. it's the same Jesus. It's the same Lord. And he gives generously to all who call on him, no matter who they are. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, there's that speaking again, will be saved. Now this is where it comes. You come in, because right now he's been talking about each individual. But how can they call on him? How can they speak to save them unless they believe, unless they have it in their heart? And how can they believe if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Do you know salvation isn't just on their lips? Whose other lips is it on? It's on your lips. The telling of it, the sharing of the good news, the sharing of the grace and the love and the mercy of God and Jesus Christ. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's what today's message is about. It's about sending you to share the truth. That's why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. It's a beautiful good news that you bring. Maybe you're motivated by obedience, or maybe you're motivated by truth. But there's a third motivation, I think, that some of us have, and that's a motivation for adventure. I've been a pastor for 10 years, and I'm also an introvert, and so sometimes I get scared in kind of strange situations. But my coach about a year ago encouraged me to go and sit at the bar at Buddy's. We do a church in a pub every Monday night. We do the same basic service in the back room of Buddy's. He said, go and sit at the pub at the bar at Buddy's about an hour before the service starts. So every Monday night from 4:30 to 5:30, I go sit at the bar. And when I first started doing that, because I'm an introvert, I was like, man, I don't want to talk to anybody here. It was so scary to me. But what I came to find out was that people who also sit at the bar, they want to talk. That's why they're sitting at the bar. Otherwise, they'd sit at a table. And I've come to find out after, you know, practicing it week in, week out, that there's a kind of adventure that happens every Monday night for me. Who am I going to meet? What new person am I going to meet? Who am I going to be reacquainted with? You know, because there's regulars every Monday night. What's the story of their life? How has God been at work in their life before the moment that they came and sat at the bar that night? And how will I get the opportunity, the privilege, and the honor to be part of that story tonight? It's an adventure every Monday night. I never know what's going to happen, but I trust that there's going to be an adventure. Jesus, when he first called his followers, said, come follow me, and I'm going to show you how to fish for people. That's the adventure. And they decided to join up for that adventure. They left their nets. They followed him. A couple of verses later, it says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. They traveled. They taught. They announced. They healed. I'll tell you what, I traveled to the bar on Monday nights at Buddy's. If the opportunity arises, I invite people to join the teaching back in the back. Announcing the good news. Sometimes just sitting there talking and listening to people is a kind of grace of healing. It's an adventure. So these three motivations to invite: obedience, truth, adventure. Don't leave a blank. Don't draw a blank this Easter when it comes to inviting a reason or a motivation to invite. I think some of us don't invite because there's certain fears that come up. So let's talk about three fears that may come up. One is that it's a taboo topic. What are the two things you don't talk about in our culture? Politics and religion, right? That it's awkward. It's like the guys that show up at Jeremy's door after he, you know, goes to this campus ministry. And a fear of rejection, a fear of breaking the relationship. Now, I think that a lot of that has to do with the really bad images that we have in our mind of what this looks like. Maybe for some of us, the inviting somebody to church or openly declaring with talking about it out loud, maybe it looks for you something like this.
Oh, there's a spot. Perfect. What's going on? God bless you. Hey, how's it going, man? I want the normal, my usual.
Yeah, actually, we have a couple girls in line already. If I could just get you moved to the back, and I'll help you as soon as I'm done with them.
Sorry about that. Last will be first will be last. Dude, do you go to church at all? Do you go to church at all? Hey, is this seat open? Hey, is this seat available? Dude, I just wanted to knock out some Devos real quick. I spent some time with Jesus. I woke up kind of late this morning. Yeah, come on, scoot over. Let me sit down. I just want to share something from God's Word. He hit me up in my Devos this morning. I was like, I got to share this. Genesis 1:1. Thirsty, huh? Getting some water?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the living water. I was noticing that you're drawing some stuff over here. Back before when I wasn't a Christian, I was making so much money as a graphic designer. You been born again? Born again. And you need to quit walking in the flesh. I mean, obviously you don't really know God, your tattoos, and you know, in your ear and stuff. If you don't start out the day by just bathing yourself in prayer, the day doesn't even go that well. You're not realizing that there is a God. He sent Jesus to die for you. Why don't you see that? And in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, I just would go to these crazy parties. It was crazy. Well, I mean, just cash like crazy, but I've left all that behind. Now I'm a Christian. You can't live life without God.
He's not real.
He's here.
I can't
see
him.
I'm just not getting through to you. God is real.
I can't touch him.
Yeah, you can't touch Africa, but Africa exists. I just have to say, I'm blessed. Too blessed to be stressed by the devil's mess. What's holding you back from committing your life to Jesus Christ? It's probably the sin in your life is what's going on. Scared? Hell is scary. Why don't you look at that girl right there? Look at her. She's going to die. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. She's going to die. If you're going to die, where do you think you would go? Man, that sounded hot. I wonder how hot hell is. Hopefully you don't go there. Oh, this is good. The New Testament is so just applicable. Have you guys noticed this? Hey, you got to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. I mean, so that you are justified, sanctified, future glorified. I mean, this is amazing. You got to come out.
Do you drive a Volkswagen?
Yeah, I do. But regardless, man, you got to come to church. Hey, remember what I said? Hell is scary.
All right, so that's obviously illustration by the negative, right? Don't be like that guy. In fact, if you are like that guy, it's going to be taboo. It's going to be awkward. You're going to face rejection, rightfully so, okay? But what I have learned instead of 10 years of being a pastor is that these topics are not actually taboo and they come up naturally. Every single person lays in bed at night awake at some point at 3 a.m., staring up in the darkness, asking the big questions in life. Why am I here? What purpose or mission does my life have? Does God exist? And if God does God care for me? Every single person at some point or another wants someone to talk to about those big things. Those are three fears that we have, but they don't need to be. Maybe we have those fears because we make some mistakes when it comes to invitation. So let's talk about three invitation mistakes. One of them is not praying or fasting. Fasting is giving up something good so that you can attain something great. Maybe over the next week you give up a meal or sweets, or maybe you give up social media or something like that. To fast for the person that you're going to invite. Now, prayer by itself can be really powerful. Right now, we've got these little post-it notes, but in the past, we've had what we've called invest and invite cards, little business-sized cards, and we ask people to write three names on them. And one time, one of our staff people, Gretchen Williams, she was sitting here in the first service, and she wrote down three names on her invest and invite card, and she took some time to pray for them in the service. In this service, that same day, one of those people showed up, and she hadn't even extended the invite to them yet. Now, I thought that was crazy. I was like, weird stuff like that doesn't happen. But the story gets even better. And it's the kind of thing that if some other pastor told me, I would say, oh, that they're just like making that. They're like telling a, you know, they're blowing up the story. The fish was really this big, but it got bigger, you know, in the storytelling. But this is what actually happened. That neighbor showed up. They filled out an invest and invite card. And when I was leaving to go out to my car after the whole service was over, I found an invest and invite card laying on the ground. I didn't know whose it was. It was just three names that were written down, first names. But I figured, you know what? I'm going to put that in my pocket. I'm going to pray for these three names because it was important. These are three people that somebody cares for. And so the next week in the service, I said, listen, I've been praying for these three people, Dan and Joe and Mary, and I don't know who they are, but if this is your card, I want you to know that your pastor has been praying for your three people. Do you know whose card it was who came up to me after the service? It was Gretchen's neighbor. You know who showed up the next week? One of those people on the card. Sometimes the taboo topics, the problem with that video or that guy in the coffee shop is he's putting a crowbar in the door of conversation and trying to jam it open with all of his might. Like, he's not letting it happen naturally. Sometimes the solution to that is to pray and wait for God to open the door naturally. Now, another mistake, though, that we make is we're not watching for that moment. We're not paying attention. And so one of the mistakes that kind of goes along with that is not having an invitation on hand. Take a stack of those invitations. I mean, there's one in your program, but there's more back on the information table. There's more back on the donut table. We'll talk about that in a minute. Take a stack of them. Take a handful of them and put some in your gym bag. Put some in your school bag. Put some in your purse. Put some at home. Put some in your car. And what I find is that when I do that, it helps remind me to watch for the open door in the conversation, to watch for the natural place where it opens up. Don't draw a blank when it comes to these mistakes this Easter. Pray, fast. Watch, have an invitation on hand. Do you know there are three reasons why people invite or why people accept an invitation? They're curious, they trust you, or maybe they are right now laying in bed at night asking the big questions in life. When I was at seminary, I went to Duke Divinity School. I met a Muslim who was in the religion department. He was getting his PhD in Islamic studies. His name was Yusha, which is Arabic for Jesus. So I met Jesus, and he was a Muslim, by the way. We struck up a conversation. And we became good friends. We'd sit and we'd chat about things that were going on in the world and what he was learning and what I was learning. And at one point, he invited me to the Muslim Student Association gathering. They were having an event that was called We Love Jesus Too. And I was curious. I mean, I'd never been to the Muslim Student Association, but I was just curious, well, what are they going to say about Jesus? And I showed up, and I learned a lot of really interesting things. I learned that there's a lot of similar beliefs that Muslims have about Jesus that Christians have. They believe that he is coming back. They believe that he will judge. They believe that he did raise from the dead. There's a lot of differences, okay? Don't get me wrong about that. But there's a lot of bridge opportunities to build bridges. And I went, why? I was curious. It was a good experience. It was a bridge built between two people and two different faiths. So a couple of months later, it was my wife and my 10-year anniversary in our marriage, and we were doing a renewal of vows in our church service. The pastor of the church we were attending at that time said, well, let's just do it right in the service after the message. You can come up and we'll renew your vows. And anybody else who wants to join you can come forward and renew their vows too. And at the time, the church we were attending was a historically black United Methodist church. So there were maybe a handful of white people, but it was maybe 80 to 90% black. And I thought, you know what, this is a unique opportunity to invite Yusha to come to my church with me. And when I invited him, it was totally natural. I said, hey, my wife and I are celebrating our 10th anniversary. We're renewing our vows this Sunday. You want to come and see what that's like? He said yes. And why did he say yes? He trusted me. He liked asking the big questions in life. He was seeking his own answers. But I think it was mostly because he was curious. I'm not sure he'd ever been to a Christian church before. I'm not sure he'd ever been to a black Christian church before. I'm not sure he'd ever seen a Christian renewal of vows before. He came, he had a great experience, he was curious. Now, I can't tell you that day he had this, like, the skies opened up and Jesus descended and said, and he had this big conversion experience. But we did build some bridges between a Christian and a Muslim just based on curiosity. trust and seeking. Don't draw a blank when it comes to Easter this year. 67% of people say that an invitation from a family member would be effective in them coming to church. 63% say that it would be effective to receive a personal invitation from a friend or a neighbor. People will come just because they're curious, because they trust you, because they're seeking. You know what their image of a Christian is? What they see on TV on Sunday morning. They don't trust the televangelist, but they do trust you. Don't draw a blank when it comes to Easter, this Easter. There are three kinds of people that you can consider inviting. If you're wondering, who are the kind of people to put on my list? One would be a drive-by. You're going to stop and get gas on the way home. That's an opportunity to invite somebody to Easter. Now, I'm not very good at that. I'm an introvert, so there are other people who are better at it. But we are trying to make it easy for you. There's a table with donut holes in the back. You pick up one of those donut holes, you take it to the teller or the cashier, and you just say, hey, thanks for working today. Our church is celebrating Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the Sunday before Easter. And they gave us these donut holes to pass out, and I wanted to thank you for being here and working today. And there's some information about our Easter services. Donut holes on us. That's a drive-by. Now, here's the low-hanging fruit of drive-bys. It's the people that you know who go to this church, but they don't go very often. But if you invited them, they would come. A family member, a friend, somebody who comes just on Easter and Christmas. Maybe it hasn't even struck. Do you know Easter changes every year what day it is? And so some people, it's not even on their minds that next Sunday is Easter. Developing are the developing friendships. They're not the long-term ones, but they're the ones that are new friends. These, for me, are people that I work out with. I've got a couple of them on my post-it note, my invite, pick up, and bring note. And then the third kind of person to invite is somebody who's in distress. Let's dig deep into that third one, because there are three seasons that people are open to an invitation. When they're in trial, when they're going through trouble or transition. Trial could just be some situation in their life. They're caring for an aging parent. They've got a new job. Trouble might be an addiction that they're experiencing, a child who's being rebellious to them. Maybe they've lost a job. Maybe their marriage is not going well. Transitions don't have to be bad. Transitions could be a new job. It could be that they just moved here. It could be that they have a new baby. When Sarah and I had our kids, boy, that was a transition. And many people feel this call back to church when they have kids. Those are three seasons when people are open to an invitation. Don't draw a blank this Easter when it comes to who to invite. Let's talk about three events to invite people to, because sometimes I think it's only worship. But you can invite somebody to a spiritual conversation, a small group, or an elbow event. I think I made a mistake one time with one of my neighbors. I invited them to church too quickly. I should have invited them over for a meal and said, hey, we're going to have some neighbors over. You're new to the neighborhood. Why don't you, I'd like you to get to know some of the neighbors. Come over to our house. We're going to cook some hamburgers. I went right to worship. And right to come into church. And I think that was a mistake. Sometimes it'd be better to invite somebody to a spiritual conversation. Let me speak directly to the guys right now in the room, because sometimes I think guys can be really passive when it comes to our friendships and relationships. Guys, don't be passive when it comes to your friendships. Actively invite the other guys that you know to get together to have some deep conversations. How's it going in your life? How's your marriage? How's school? How's the job? What's the best part? What's the worst part? Have somebody for a spiritual conversation. Then a small group or an elbow event. An elbow event is where everyone, like you all get together to watch the big game. You're all Sycamore Creek people, and each one of you brings someone that doesn't have a family, a church family, to come with you. The power of an elbow event is that, again, their image of a Christian is what they see Sunday morning on TV. And when they get together with you and your friends here from Sycamore Creek, they're like, oh, they're not that weird. Now, hopefully we are kind of weird, but weird in the good way. Weird in that, like, justice and mercy and grace and love and kindness and that kind of weirdness, but not weird in the Sunday morning televangelist way. Invite somebody to an elbow vent, and then invite somebody to worship. Do you know when the best worship service to invite somebody to is? Sometimes we think that it's like the perfect series. It's like when your favorite preacher is preaching, when the band is really big, when we're pulling out all the bells and whistles, that's when you want to invite somebody. The best time to invite somebody is whatever's coming up this weekend. You have no idea what God is doing in their life right now. Now, next Sunday is a bells and whistles Sunday. I mean, we got wrestlers from MSU, the heavyweight and the lightweight. We got a huge band. We got lots of fun stuff that we're going to do at the stage. The series is that we're kicking off is a great series. It's a great Sunday. But when is the best Sunday? Whenever the next one is. Don't draw a blank when it comes to this Easter. So let's talk about three steps to invitation. Invite, pick up, and bring. I mean, that seems obvious, right? But the invite is obvious. Pick up and bring. It's scary when you walk into a room with a bunch of people you don't know. You may not literally pick up and bring somebody. Or it may be like, I don't know if you noticed when I was sitting up here, we've got this whole row of kids. These are all neighbors' kids that are coming with us now. And we literally pick them up and bring them. But picking up and bring may just be, hey, when you're in the parking lot, text me so I can meet you at the top of the stairs. Or I can go out in the parking lot and meet you. Because when you walk them into this room, now you're breaking all of the ice for them. Invite, pick up, and bring. And when somebody accepts the invitation, there are three things that you want to make sure that these people, that we all do, three acts of welcome. Park in the back, sit in the front, 5-10 link people. Let's remember next week where our parking spaces are, okay? Because they're not always obvious. Let's see here. So down here is McKim. You can park on McKim Street, all right? Then there's 40 spaces around our building, but we've got this big overflow parking spot here, both in the back of Spartan Dental and in the front. If you want to be extra special, you can go across the street of Alpha and park in Yonkers Memorial, which isn't even there anymore. Save the best parking spaces for the guest, for the person who has mobility issues, for the person with small kids. And then don't make people do the walk of shame next week. You know what the walk of shame is? You all took the good seats in the back, and the guest shows up a little bit late, and they've got to walk up to the front seats. Whatever row you usually sit in, bump it up a couple rows next week, okay? And then 5-10 link people. When we have a meet and eat, and I meet with people who are guests or new people at Subway across the street, and I say, what do you notice about our church? They always say, it's so friendly. And I tell them, that's because we practice the 5-10 link rule. 5 minutes before the service, 5 minutes after the service. Look for people you don't know. And you don't have to look in the whole room. Just do it a 10-foot radius around you. That basically means like who's sitting in front of you, who's sitting beside you, who's sitting behind you, and link up with them. And if you can especially, you know, link them up with somebody that's similar, you find out that that somebody is a pharmacist, you're like, hey, let me bring you over to Eric. He's a pharmacist too. If you're like, oh, you're a Spartan fan, let me bring you over to Clint. He's a huge Spartan fan. You like lifting weights, let me introduce you to Sean. You know, link people up. Help break the ice with those friendships. 5-10 link people. Don't draw a blank next week when it comes to welcoming people. Because your person who you invited may not show up, but somebody else's will. And they are depending on you for that person to feel welcome. This is why Paul says, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? I'm sending you. That's why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Don't draw a blank when it comes to good news this Easter. Because good news was meant to be shared like this.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
Daniel, you gotta see this. Look at this.
How have you not seen that yet?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Start from getting it. Tell us everything.
Okay, so.
I can't believe it.
What is it?
You gotta be kidding me. That's great. Hey, come here. You gotta listen to the story.
I have something to show you. Oh my goodness! Dad! Dad!
That is great!
No, bring it in this mess.
What
are we gonna tell first?
We gotta tell our mom something. Your mom and my mom. Peter! John! Come see this! The tomb! It's empty!
On your invite card, there's two post-it notes. I want you to use both of those this morning. Write three names on each. Take one of those, and just as an act of prayer today, bring it forward. Put it in the net. Put it on the crate in the boat. We're fishing for people today. And then take those three names and write them on the prayer section of your connection card, so that you have a whole team of people praying for you this week. God's reckless love is chasing the people that you care about down. Come and bring those forward.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. So kind to me. Sing this with me, friends. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
A little louder.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't clear down, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Sing that again.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Sing that again.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
God, these are people who we deeply care for. Sam, Rosie, Kia, Wendy, Jenna, Zach, Lori. Lord, we know that your reckless love will go to any extent for them to know your grace and your mercy and your son Jesus. Help us to be maybe a little reckless this week, that people might encounter your risen son Jesus Christ this next Sunday or Friday or Monday. In the name of Jesus and the power of your Spirit, and all who agreed said, Amen.